Good morning. This is Mark Mays, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Once again, it's good to be with you today, and we trust that today we can be a blessing and an encouragement to you. Let's ask the Lord to help us this morning as we spend a few moments together. Father, we are thankful for this day. We're thankful for the opportunity that we have just to live in America, Lord, a land of the free and the brave, as we often hear. Lord, thank you so much for that. So many people around the world today are dealing with things that we in America have been so fortunate and so blessed not to have to deal with on a daily basis or really any at all. And Lord, you've just been good to us, and I wanted to say thank you. Lord, thank you for allowing us to live here in the valley. What a beautiful place it is, and what a blessing. Thank you for all that you do for us and give to us. Help us, Lord, this morning, please. Father, based upon our needs, meet with us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm in a series, have been for some time, Biblical Principles for Practical Living. The whole idea is simply this, that we as Christians ought to live by principles. And we know that so many folks today, and many of us as well, and I'm included, we oftentimes just live by our emotions. In other words, whatever our feelings are, whatever we're going through. Instead of living by principle, the old phrase, whatever feels good, do it. Or if we're angry, we respond by anger or by bitterness or wrath or jealousy or what have you, instead of living biblically or principally. And so the whole idea, the concept here is to get us to think about the principles that God lays out for us in His Word. You know, so often in our life, if we're not careful, we can think that the successful Christian life is lived by those whose lot it is to be successful. You know, that's not true. Success is not gained by winning the lottery. Success is gained by living by truth. And of course, biblical principles are truth because they're based upon God's Word. And so as we apply these principles, then we enable ourselves to be placed in a position to be more successful in life. Now, often these principles are not the things that cause, as we would say, the hair on the back of our head to stand up. In other words, they don't make us tremendously emotional when we hear them, but they are often simply where the rubber meets the road, as we say, the basics of life, how to deal with just basic issues that come up each and every day, and give us a plan, a purpose, how to fulfill God's will in these. And so that's what we're trying to do. We're taking the book of Proverbs and looking for biblical principles. We're taking them as they come. There is no agenda. There are no pet peeve issues that we're dealing with as they are found in the Scripture. As we're going through the book of Proverbs, we deal with those, and then we move on to the next principle. And so that's what we're doing this morning. We are in chapter 20 of the book of Proverbs. We're at verse number 19, and that verse tells us this: "He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips." Meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. You know, the word meddle means to braid, to intermix. And so when the Bible's talking about meddle not, don't intermix or don't weave, or if you would, to braid yourself among those that are given to either talebearing or those who would flatter. The Bible teaches us that, you know, we're not to mingle with him, not to associate with him. Don't keep company with him. Have nothing to do with that person. Because when they are flattering you, they're using their words to try to manipulate and gain control. They have some type of design that's usually not for your good. And so God's given us a very simple principle here. We're just to basically stay away from that kind of person. Meddle not. Don't intermix. Don't be braided. If you think somebody have you braid hair or braid a rope or maybe even bread, how it's interweaved and intertangled. God says don't do that. Don't meddle with those type of people. It's of no benefit, no profit to you. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 11:13, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. The first part of that verse in 19, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. That word talebearer simply means a scandal or a slanderer, one that carries tales about from place to place, from person to person, if you would. He that goeth about as a talebearer, always telling some tale. You know, someone said this, you know, if you know someone who's willing to talk to you about somebody, you can rest assured that when you are not there, they're willing to talk to about you to somebody else. You know, that's a lot of truth in that. So often people, you see them, they get the juicy gossip of what's going on and who's did what and done what, rather, and all that kind of stuff. And little do they stop to realize and think, you know, while they are not there, they are the ones who are being talked about. So you rest assured, the next time somebody comes up to you and is willing to tell you, you would, if you would, those tall tale secrets of somebody else's life, you can rest assured that when you're not around, they're telling your secrets. They're gossiping or slandering or being a talebearer about you. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:8, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. In Proverbs 26:20-22, where no wood is, then there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost part of the belly. Leviticus 19:16 tells us, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Proverbs 1:10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You know, you think about being enticed, we often think about perhaps to be participating in some type of vice or sin. But, you know, maybe somebody wants to entice you to listen to some juicy bit of information about somebody. The Bible says, consent thou not. In other words, don't be party to that. Don't go along with it. You know, we often hear the phrase, it takes two to tango, so to speak. You know, if you're going to have a fight, I mean, you got to get two people that are willing to go at it. You take one of them out of that, and then you don't have much of a fight because there's no retaliation. So you sort of just stop the fighting when one's willing not to do that. But when both are willing to fight, well, you got a mess on your hand. Well, if you got one who's willing to tell the talebearers and tell the secrets, and you got one who's willing to listen, then you got a problem. But if you take away the person who doesn't want to listen, that sort of leaves the talebearer sort of in a conundrum. He doesn't or she doesn't have anything to say anymore because you won't listen. Well, God's teaching us here simply this. You know, in order to stop gossip, you can do two things. Number one, don't be the one doing it. Don't be the one engaged in slandering. Do not be the one who's engaged in being a talebearer. But at the same time, you can also do this. You can make sure you're not one who's willing to listen to the talebearer. You know, often we can stop gossip by obviously not doing it ourselves, but we can also stop it by refusing to listen to it. And sometimes you may have to say to the person, I'm not interested. Please don't tell me that. It's none of my business. I do not want to know. And you may have to go to different lengths to do something about it, but you know what? You and I can take a stand and live principally here, and we can say, listen, that's none of my business. I do not want to know that person's business, and I would appreciate if you just not tell me anything about that. If they've already told you something out of a blue real quick, just stop it as soon as you can and say, yeah, that's enough. I don't need to hear anymore. I don't want to hear anymore. I don't want to know, and just leave it at that. And you can often help yourself and help others by just refusing to listen to those that are talebearers. And so here's a principle. When somebody's willing to do spread the gossip, the slander, they're willing to flatter you with their tongue, and they're just sort of being loose with their words, you know, be principled enough to say, number one, I'm not going to engage in that activity myself, and number two, I'm not going to listen to it. Change the subject. And if you have to, change your location so that you're no longer in the presence of someone who's insisting on telling you things they shouldn't be. Let's go on down to verse number 22. The Bible says, say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Here's another principle that we'd like to consider this morning. The Bible says, say not thou, I will recompense evil. In other words, I'm going to pay back. I'll get even. So often we hear about people today in today's world, you know, I don't get mad, I get even. You know, it's that sounds to the world, something that's sometimes I suppose they take it with humor, or they take it as, you know, I'll show you. But, you know, as, from a biblical principle and from the standpoint of God's viewing, that's nothing Christ-like about that, because the Bible says we're not to recompense evil. We're not to pay it back. We're to wait on the Lord, and the Lord will set the record straight in his time and place and his fashion. Albert Barnes said it this way: God's awarding to everyone according to his works is the true check to the spirit of vindictiveness. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And Romans 12:19 says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord." You know, note that the man is not told to wait on the Lord in expectation of seeing vengeance on his enemies, but he shall be saved as he waits on the Lord. The difference of the two hopes is that their effect upon man's character is incalculable. In other words, you know, it's not that God wants you to say, okay, I'm not going to revenge, but I'm just sort of waiting for God to clean your clock. And boy, I'm hoping I'm here when he does it. That's not the attitude that God wants us to have. It's not that I won't get you, but I'm sure going to be glad when God gets you, and I hope he gets you good. That's not biblical principles. That's certainly not what God wants us to do. As a matter of fact, simply put, God says don't recompense evil. Don't pay it back, but just wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord to help you if you're in the victim or the receiving end of evil. Other words, that God would compensate for your on your behalf to help you to overcome and be victorious. And if God needed to and chose to take out vengeance upon that person in a way that you perhaps would see it, we're not to rejoice in that. As a matter of fact, we're to mourn for that, wishing that God would help them not live that way so that they wouldn't have to endure the chastening of the Lord. And so God's teaching us a very important principle. It's a thing about, you know, it's something that people don't see so often, but God sees. You know, a lot of times, see, you can have bitterness in your heart and nobody will know about it. You can have hatred in your heart and you can pretty much hide it for the most part. You can have a bad attitude towards somebody and you know, nobody ever knows it, but God knows. And so you may rejoice inwardly when they get their comings up, as we would say, when they get their due. And God says, don't do that. That's not Christ-like. We shouldn't do that. We should not recompense evil, and we should not rejoice when they get paid back by God. God's not saying or suggesting here that we should say, okay, I'll not get you back, but I sure can't wait until God does. That's not the attitude that God is trying to help us with here. Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. What are we waiting on? We're waiting on God to help us. We're waiting on God to strengthen us. We're waiting on God to be merciful to us. We're not waiting on God to get them and clobber the guy who's been our enemy. That's not what we're waiting on. We're waiting on God to help them, but we're not waiting on God to abuse them. The Bible says in Romans 12:17-19 again, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, and if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And so God's teaching us a very important lesson here that we should, don't take it on our own behalf and get things right, but pray that God would sustain us during those times, and then also that God would help the person who's not in line with what they should be. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. And 1 Peter 3:8-9, finally, be of all one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but counterwise blessing, knowing that ye are therefore thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. I like that phrase, but counterwise blessing. In other words, when they would rail against you, do evil, you do good. You do good. And God will take that and use that. In Isaiah chapter 40, 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I would hope and think that none of us would expect that means that we're waiting on the Lord to clobber the guy that's our enemy. That's not what it's talking about at all. Clearly it's not. We're waiting on the Lord to strengthen us and help us. But we're also waiting on the Lord to help that person that has become our enemy or declared himself to be, that God would speak and challenge and change him as well. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. You know, sometimes we suffer and God uses our suffering. God uses our attitude during suffering to touch people's lives. And so when somebody comes and they make themselves our enemy and they do evil to us, trust the Lord. God will take care of it. He'll make it all, as we say, wash out at the end. And we'll be glad that we trusted God, and hopefully they'll be glad that we trusted God, that God in his time, way, and fashion would help them to be what they need to be. You know, that's the whole attitude of Christian, not one of revenge, not one of getting even, but one of just getting right with God and praying that the other would get right as well. Well, these are two principles. They, as I said earlier, they're not earth-shattering spine-tingling truths, but they sure are truths where the rubber meets the road. They are principles that would help us to be a better Christian, a person that would help us have a better testimony. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth seekers, therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. A lot of good principles there we can learn. Here, say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Again, some more good principles here that help us be what God has called us to be. I trust that you'll allow the Lord to work in your heart. I trust that I'll allow him to work in mine, and may we all be better because of it. I thank you for listening, and you have a great day.